Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. Hear the word of God. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is very late. Send them away so that they may go into surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. This is the word of the Lord. Have you ever been tired of doing good? I mean, really doing good? Loving your neighbor, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, working hard day in and day out to provide for your family, taking your kids to various activities, caring for sick family members. Have you ever thought to yourself, "I've given all I've got. I need a break. They, whomever they are, need to find someone else"? Have you ever longed for Sabbath? I know I have. Last year, I served as a chaplain resident in a Trauma One hospital in New Jersey. In many ways, my role was to be a spiritual midwife to the patients and their families, to provide them with a safe place in which to express and experience the varied and complex emotions that accompany the disorientation of hospitalization. As a chaplain in the medical intensive care unit, I walked with families through the dying and grieving process on a daily basis. I walked with them through the phases of denial, through their realizations that their loved ones would not recover in the way they expected or hoped, and everywhere in between. I walked with them through their anger with God, with medical staff, with themselves, or with each other. I walked with them through their final moments that they would share with their loved ones. Sometimes it was harder than others. Sometimes my patients were young and just beginning their lives. Others were more advanced in years, surrounded by generations of family members. All were children of God. I walked with nursing staff who cared for day in and day out for not only the patients, but also their family members. It was hard work, some of the hardest work I've ever done, but it was good work. It was good in that it was a privilege to walk beside these patients and their families. It was a privilege to hear the stories they shared. It was a privilege to bear witness to the holy by my mere presence. But it was exhausting as well. It was exhausting to work with one family after another, every day and sometimes overnight. It was exhausting to carry their burdens alongside them, and often the burdens of multiple family units at one time. On more than one occasion, I left the hospital in the evening praying that the patient would transition peacefully while I was gone, so that I could have a respite, but also so they could be at peace. It was exhausting to do good. About halfway through the year, I was desperate for Sabbath rest. I was desperate to have a break from the weightiness that I carried. This is where we find the disciples in today's scripture. They've just returned from the mission Jesus had sent them on to heal the sick and cast out demons. They had done some really good and really hard soul work, some incredible miracles that they never thought they would have been able to do. And they were tired. They needed to recharge. They needed to rest. Jesus makes a plan to give them the Sabbath rest that they so desperately needed. The scripture tells us that the disciples had been so overwhelmed by the number of people coming to them in need of healing and restoration that they did not even have time to take care of their basic needs for food, water, and sleep. So Jesus tells them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." It's a great plan for Sabbath rest. Come on, get away, unplug from the world. Let's find a place where no one will bother us for a while. Let's go on a retreat. But like so many of life's best laid plans, Jesus' plan A for Sabbath rest goes awry. When they get into the boat, the people who had been following them see them and follow after them. In fact, they beat them to the opposite shoreline. Sabbath rest, it seems, will have to wait. Or, I wonder, does Sabbath rest perhaps look different than we expect? Does Sabbath rest take on the qualities of lying down in green pastures? Does it look more like traversing the darkest valleys? Does it mean to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the yoke of oppression? Does it mean to share food with the hungry and provide the homeless with shelter? Or is Sabbath perhaps a combination of all of these things? Jesus tried to set a provision before his disciples in which they'd be able to retreat from the world for a time. The problem was the world wouldn't retreat from them. The people kept on coming, kept on pressing in on them. And every time the people press in, Jesus demonstrates compassion towards them. As I've thought about it, this passage is more a passage about leadership than it is about rest. What does it mean to be a leader when things get hard? When we get tired, when all we want is a break, when we don't feel capable of leading or leading well. Maybe you don't think of yourself as a leader, but really, all of us are leaders in some way, leaders of something. We all have an ability and responsibility to lead as well as to follow. Just as the disciples of Jesus have a responsibility to lead as well as follow. The disciples are so exhausted, so longing for a break from being surrounded by thousands of people, that when the evening comes, they offer the most logical suggestion they could think of. Send these people away so that they can find food and lodging for the night. It seems like a good idea. After all, they themselves had no provisions. They themselves had not even been able to eat because of all the work they had been doing as they carried out the ministry as Jesus instructed them. But I think that underneath this great suggestion, which seems like it would provide a reasonable solution to the problem of people not having food or shelter, there was an ulterior motive at play. The disciples did their part all day long. In spite of the fact that they longed for rest and refreshment, they ministered alongside Jesus to this multitude. They took care of the 15,000 people who had come to hear from Jesus all day long. Despite their own needing to be filled, they poured themselves out for this multitude. And now, they thought, they would finally be able to rest themselves. But Jesus, instead of accepting their suggestion to send the people away, challenges them to further exercise their leadership as his disciples. Tired as they are, hungry as they are, Jesus says to them, "You give them something to eat." Now, I don't know about you, but I would have been pretty ticked off at Jesus for telling me to do something like that. From what were these disciples supposed to feed such a multitude? They even asked Jesus that question. They knew that they did not have what it took to accomplish this charge from Jesus. They, in and of themselves, are inadequate to the task set before them. And really, any of us would be. Could you imagine feeding 15,000 people, having a party in your home for 15,000 people with no food? The disciples recognized their inadequacy. But where the disciples saw inadequacy, Jesus saw opportunity. Jesus saw a hungry band of people. But more importantly, Jesus saw a hungry, exhausted group of disciples who were in need of both physical and spiritual nourishment. But that nourishment won't come without their participation. They are called upon to play an active role in the feeding of the multitude. Despite the fact that they've been traveling with Jesus, seeing him perform miracle after miracle, performing miracles themselves in his name, the disciples, in their exhaustion, think Jesus is charging them and them alone with feeding these people. Jesus here teaches them that, yes, they are in fact not up to the task, not apart from him. This passage offers us several examples of leadership. We see disciples who are hungry and tired continue to lead, continue to care for others. We see Jesus showing the disciples how to lead by faith, calling God's blessing upon bread and fish to feed a multitude. We see Jesus teaching the disciples that to lead, they must remain connected to him. That it is by remaining connected to Jesus that they and we ultimately will find our rest and restoration. Jesus teaches them that as leaders, there will be times when they are weary, worn down, bent beneath the weight of the world, bent beneath the weight of the needs that come to them. They will feel inadequate over and over again. And that's because they are, in fact, inadequate if they seek to lead on an island. The strength of leadership in Jesus' model and economy involves a team, a whole team of people who come together with Christ at the center and who lead from Christ's leadership, who lead out of Christ's leadership. So what do we do when things get hard, when we get tired, when we long to go away to a secluded place and lie down in green pastures, but the world presses in? What do we do as leaders as we begin to recognize that we don't necessarily have what it takes to get the job done? On a particularly difficult 24-hour shift last year, a shift in which the needs were overwhelming, a shift in which the codes kept coming one after another, a shift where by the sixth of what would be 8 deaths that night, I was spent. I returned to my office longing to get just a moment of rest. I had strung up my hammock early that evening. It was now 3 a.m., and I had not had 5 minutes to take a break since about 10 a.m. the previous day. I was empty, physically and emotionally exhausted. I was in need of replenishment. I, like the disciples, had given it my all, and I longed for the nourishment and rest that I so desperately needed. But the moment I finished logging that last event that brought me back to the office, the phone rang. I almost let it go to voicemail. Everyone had my pager number, after all. But something in me said, you need to take that call. In looking at the caller ID as I reached for the receiver, I saw the letters L and D on the screen, and my heart promptly sank into the pit of my stomach as I picked up that receiver. Calls from labor and delivery at 3 o'clock in the morning are never, ever good. It was not the first time I had been called like this, but having already had a full day and night of working with frightened and grief-stricken families, of sitting in the mire with them, I did not think my emotional bandwidth would hold out. As I hung up the phone in the brief moment before I ran out the door and up the stairs, I did the only thing that made sense at the time. I prayed. I prayed not for the strength to do what needed to be done to get through this next event. The only prayer that made sense in that moment was a prayer to get out of God's way as I entered the space with that family. I needed to be a leader in that moment, whether I wanted to be or not. But I also knew that I alone was inadequate. My praying did not change the fact that I was exhausted and needed rest, not in the least. But what it did do was reminded me that I wasn't in this place alone, that I didn't have to try and lead this family through this place alone. In fact, to do so would have resulted in abject failure. I needed Jesus' vision. I needed Jesus himself. In that brief moment of prayer, I found an otherworldly peace and reassurance, a peace not that God wouldn't give me more than I could handle, a phrase that makes my skin crawl because of the damage it inflicts, but that God was with me whatever came. And in that moment, as I walked the road with this family, my inadequacy made room for God to do God's work. When we are tired, when we think we don't have what it takes to lead or lead well, when we are, in fact, inadequate to lead, perhaps the best thing we can do is pray and ask God to help us change our lenses. In these times, we need broader vision. Vision like Jesus' vision, which saw both hungry people and hungry disciples and had compassion on them both. The Sabbath of the soul that the disciples needed was to be part of the miracle that brought nourishment to the bodies of all on a grassy plain where all could lay down and find their rest and nourishment in Christ. In this transitional time of leadership at First Pres, as we seek to discover where God is calling us as a church, perhaps the best thing we all can do is to slow down, even if just for a moment. At 60 miles an hour, we can't see the same things as we can at 3 miles an hour, the speed of walking. So let us prayerfully slow down and broaden our vision. Let us begin to look at First Pres from a God's eye view, with broad vision, and begin to discern where God is leading us. We won't know how many people 5 loaves and 2 fish will feed until we give them to Jesus, and then, after they are blessed, start passing them out. So let us bring what we have and learn to see as Christ sees. And in seeing through Christ-like eyes, receive the Sabbath nourishment for our bodies and souls that all of us need for the journey ahead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.